Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
Welcome to People Power and Politics. I am your host, Pearl Phillip, and our guest today is State Senator Zelenor Myrie. Welcome, sir. So good to have you here with us.
Always good to be with you, Pearl.
Our pleasure. So let's look at the issues. When you first ran, the top three issues on your platform were affordable housing, immigration reform, and public education. Your constituents are both diverse in demographics and economics. How have you addressed those issues?
Yeah, so let me, if I may, just start with some of the context there. So when you think about housing, immigration, education, this is the story of my life. I am the son of two immigrants. My mom came to this country 40 years ago on the promise of a mattress in a bedroom and a job in a factory. She was supposed to make a little bit of cash and then head back to Costa Rica. But like many of our stories, she ended up staying. She ended up loving it. She met my dad and I was conceived. I then went to public schools my entire adolescence. I went to school in Crown Heights, PS 161. Shout out to any of our Crown School alumni out there. And then I went to Brooklyn Tech for high school, which was a public school as well. And then, of course, housing. I grew up in a rent-stabilized apartment. My story would not be possible if I didn't have that stability, if my mom didn't have the predictability and stability of a rent-stabilized apartment. She would not have been able to focus on working and putting food on the table to help me do what I need to do in school. So when I was running, I didn't have to look very far. I was born and raised in the district. I didn't have to look very far for the issues because I had lived the very issues. So what have we done since being elected in 2018? Well, in 2019, we passed something called the Housing Stability and Tenant Protection Act, which was the most progressive rent reform that we have made in this state in almost half a century. And what that really did was to protect the over 1 million rent stabilized families that live in the state of New York, to say that you shouldn't have the prices jacked up on you by surprise, to say that landlords shouldn't systematically push you out so that they can pick up the rent and raise the rent on you. Amongst a number of other changes, we brought down evictions in this state by almost 30% after those rent reforms passed. So we have made some strides, but there's much more to go. We've been through a pandemic where we had a little break on the rents, and then we have seen almost 500, 600, 700% increases in what landlords are asking for. So we still need to do more to protect tenants, but we've also done some work for homeowners. We have prioritized keeping people in their homes, giving them money during the pandemic to help with bills that they couldn't pay. And for those who have been victims of deed theft, the literal stealing of their wealth, we have also been on the front lines for that as well. So that's housing. Let's talk about education. Mm-hmm. Everything starts with education. I would not be who I am today if not for my education. But we have been consistently failing our kids because we have not put the resources into the schools the way that we need to. We spend more money to incarcerate one individual in this state than we do to educate one child in this state. There is something incredibly wrong with that formula and with that process. So we fought in 2019 and in 2020 to get the money that our schools deserved. We got over $3 billion that had never been invested in our public schools before. We got that done in 2020. That is a first step. We obviously have a lot more other things to fix in our educational system, but I, for one, cannot accept the fact that we spend more to incarcerate than we do to educate. And so this is, to me, a first step. And then lastly, on immigration reform, as I mentioned, I'm the child of immigrants. One of the basic necessities, the basic things you need for work, to get around, to be with family, to go to events, is a driver's license. And we, for a long time in this state, did not allow for people who were naturalized here to have a driver's license. We said you can pay taxes, you can contribute to our communities, you can be an upstanding member of society, but we are going to deny you that driver's license. And we changed that when we got in. And so those are some examples of what we've done in those areas. But we are facing, I think, serious challenges with the asylum seekers that have arrived in the city over the past couple of months, with the affordable housing crunch that we're seeing, people buildings going up that our people can't afford to live in. We are seeing a spirited discussion around how our schools should be run, who are going to be in those schools and at what times, and who's going to be running the show. And so I think there's a lot more work to be done, but I'm proud to have run on these issues and to have delivered in many respects in these areas.
Okay, so I want to touch on immigration right now. Mm-hmm. Your predecessor was, to put it bluntly, anti-immigrant. Mm-hmm. He was a member of the IDC, blocking bills from passing, which would help immigrants, one of which you spoke about, the driver's license. And looking at the migrants coming in right now, and you have immigrants in your district, has there been an impact on your district with the influx of migrants?
100%, Pearl, 100%. Just think about the schools. We did our school visits the first day of school and spoke to a lot of our principals, a lot of our administrators, and they said, Senator, we have families just showing up, can't speak the language, but they have a paper that says they're supposed to be here and that their kid is supposed to be here. The city hasn't given us anything to deal with that influx until very recently. How are we supposed to do this? We need people to translate. We need people to direct them to the proper social services that they may need. What if they're an IEP student or a student with some other special need? How do we address that? So even if you just look at the schools, there has been a monumental impact, and there needs to be federal action on this. One of the things that bothers me to my core is how Republicans have weaponized immigration but have provided no solutions. All they do is point to the problem and they say, well, they're the reason for everything bad in our society. Okay, well, if you believe that, then what's the solution? Come to the table and let's get serious about fixing this. But absent that, it's going to be up to us, the localities, to deal with the consequences of these migration patterns.
Okay. So you mentioned the public education system, which you are product of. And we know that New York City has the most segregated school system in the country. As a Black man, a well-educated one, and an elected official, what is your suggestion to affect real change and turn this around?
This is a really, really important topic. It shocks the conscience to think that here in the progressive capital of the nation, allegedly, that we have the most segregated school system. One of the things that I think made a difference in that was the dropping of screenings in the middle school application process. And I saw that play out in my district a little bit in school district 15, where instead of using these screenings that helped aid the segregation of white kids and kids of color, they dropped those screens, used other metrics to see who they would let into their schools, and integration happened. There were more integrated schools. The parents have been really excited about this. Their families exposed to different worldviews, to different perspectives. This is something that we should all be valuing. And I think that those screens and that process in District 15 is something that we should be looking at for a lot of our school districts. Now, I know Chancellor Banks recently said, well, we'll leave it up to each school district to determine whether or not they are going to drop the screens. And we saw the results. Many of the school districts said, yes, we're going to continue this pandemic era policy because the students, the diverse body we got, was much better. But here's something, Pearl, that I think the viewers need to listen to as well. The Supreme Court just heard arguments on affirmative action. And that's one of two cases that are going to come before the court. It is likely that the Supreme Court is going to decide that affirmative action is unconstitutional and that schools cannot use race as a determinant or as part of an application process. If that happens, our integration problem is going to get worse, not better. So we have to pay attention not just to what's happening in our local politics, but of course what's happening in the conservative, radical, runaway United States Supreme Court.
Because it's going to trickle down eventually.
It's going to trickle down eventually. Someone here is going to say, well, my kid shouldn't have to be in a class with all of these other folks, and I have support from the United States Supreme Court, and I'm going to sue. So we should stay tuned for that and be ready to fight back as a city and a state.
All right. Excellent. So thank you so much, State Senator Zelano Myrie, for being here with us, and we look forward to having you back again.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure. And I'm, of course, looking back to returning soon.
People power in politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's people power in politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.